In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want to tell you about the great privileges we enjoy because we are made in the image of God. We can be creators. We can create life. God no longer creates life out of nothing. God has us create life out of our love for one another. We can teach, we can comfort, we can heal, we can give love out of our love, just as God gives us love out of his love. And just as his love is never diminished when he gives his love to us, our love is never diminished when we give it to others, to our friends, our family, and especially our children. So we are very much like God. We were created to be like him. Of course, we're not like him in many ways. We're not uncreated. We're not eternal without God making us able to live forever. We cannot share in the essence of who God is, but we will and do even now share and participate in his energies. Because out of his love, we give love. Therefore, the scripture says, the kingdom of heaven is within you. It is a great privilege to be a Christian. It is even a great privilege to be a human being and not even know Christ, because even that person can give love out of God's love. They just often don't understand the source. So it is a great privilege if we know the source of love and we give our love to others and we know the Creator and we become creators. Then we will understand what the scripture means when it says flagrantly, I said ye are gods. And we do not believe in a multiplicity of gods and deities, but we do believe that God has made us to become like him and to act as he acts in the world for him. And so it is that when we have children, we are doing something that is godlike and holy. We are creating children out of our love. First, the love of God, which is spread abroad in our hearts, and then our love for each other, a man and a woman, and the physical act of love, which then creates life. This is a great and an awesome privilege, but also a responsibility. Anything that is a great privilege also carries with it great responsibility. There is nothing in life that is a great privilege that does not also have great responsibility and great consequences, good and bad, depending on how we act with this privilege. We're trying to get more people involved in the education classes. And so really this is a little bit of a marketing, shall we say. I'm trying to get you to be all involved, every single one of you, in education, in teaching, and in being taught. Every single one of you. Without exception. And so, Father Nicholas has asked me to speak about these kinds of things, and, well, I'm sure my take on it might be a little different than most, but I'm doing my best. And so I thought that the epistles that are last week's and this week's, and I believe next week's too, are very applicable to the family. Now, this epistle might not seem so at first, because he's talking about God has sent forth us as apostles last, as it were appointed for death. We are made a spectacle to the world, to angels and to men. I'm sure many of you would say, I don't want that to be in the description of my family. It is a description of apostleship. But what is apostleship? Apostleship is serving. Apostleship is having a purpose because of the love of God within you and doing whatever God brings you to do. So all of these things that Paul describes, and to be honest with you, it's hard for me to understand what he really means. Sometimes I just don't understand St. Paul. I don't have the benefit of being holy like St. John Chrysostom, so he could understand St. Paul so well. He says, we're made fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We're weak, but you are strong. You are honorable, but we are despised. I don't really understand it that well. Except that in total, when you read all of these things that he's saying that he struggles and the apostles struggle for those that they love. And they'll do anything. They'll be weak for them. They'll be fools for them. They'll be despised for them. They'll forgive for them. They'll have no certain dwelling place. They'll labor. They'll be reviled and yet they'll bless. They'll persecute it and they'll suffer it. They'll do anything for those they love. So I want to adapt this to family life. You have, those of you who have had children, have created life like God creates life. A great and a wonderful privilege. And this creation of life should be for the same purpose as God created life. Why did God create us? There is one word answer that is correct. Love. He created us because of love. He loves, and he wanted to share his love with us. And therefore, we, being made in his image and trying to live in such a way that we attain to his likeness, we should have his love then spread abroad to others, and especially to our family. So having children is not something that's just incidental. Now, perhaps sometimes someone's had a child by accident or out of wedlock. None of that's important. I mean, in terms of consequences, in terms of your lifestyle, in terms of economics, all those things sometimes matter when you have children and under what conditions, etc. There's no doubt about all that. But as far as have you created life and are you responsible for giving love to that life, it's the same, no matter how a child has come into the world. And so when St. Paul says, for ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have not many fathers, for in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel, that should also resonate with you fathers and you mothers. Because your children have not 10,000 fathers or mothers. They have one father and mother that are human, and God is the father of us all. And God has assigned to you his fatherhood to you, to be fathers, to begat life. And in bringing forth life, you have that responsibility now to raise that life with love, with long-suffering, with great effort. You have to live in such a way, and it's a hard thing to do, such that you can say with St. Paul, wherefore I beseech you, my beloved children, be ye followers of me. Well, that's one of the scariest sentences in the Bible to me. St. Paul says, be ye followers of me. He didn't say be followers of Christ, because God has assigned to us that we are to do his work in the world. We're not to pass that work to him. Of course, all things happen with his grace. But he has assigned to us that we do this labor, that we be an example to our children and to everyone else, so that they would be followers of us. Now, on a personal level, I tell you, I'm thinking about this a little bit, because we just sent our last off to college, and my influence over him has waned. He's now in school. See him when he comes home for school. But basically, he's now going to live his life And I hope I've been a decent example to him. Now there is mainly prayer remaining. Can you say that you've been a good example to your children? I honestly can't say that I have. I can say that I've tried very hard. And I hope that you can say that as well. And just like I said last week, it's not competence that you need. It's desire. Because love covers a multitude of sins. So if you have desire, God will help you. Absolutely and positively. But you have to have a mindset, an understanding that you have done something that the Creator has done. You've created life and you're responsible for that life. And therefore you have to be an example to that life. And you have to, out of your love, share life-giving things to your sons and to your daughters so that they would be followers of you. Of course, you got to get your own act together for them to be followers of you. So that means if you got things to work on, you better work on them. If you don't pray very much, you better learn to pray. If you don't fast very much, you better learn to fast. If you don't read the Gospels, how can you teach your children the most important wisdom, which is in the Gospels? So, all of us have personal things that we need to do to improve ourselves. That's where the classes come in a little bit. You should go. You should teach if you can. If you don't know how to teach, but you have a heart that wants to teach, we'll teach you to teach. We have a teacher over there that will teach you to teach. And even if you don't teach, be involved in the classes because our role as parents is to teach our children about life. And that's not about how to succeed and how to get into a good college and all those other sorts of things. We're to teach them what the purpose of life is, what the meaning of life is. They have to see that in the way we live to really understand what the meaning of life is. This is very important. There's really no other task that you have as a human being in this world that's more important, if you have children, than to teach those children and to be an example for those children so that those children will be followers of you. And if you don't have children, well, there's plenty of children that you encounter that should also be followers of you. There's plenty of people in your daily life that you should spread your love to. So it really matters not if you have children or not, if you're married or not. We're responsible for being part of God's love, spreading abroad to others, to give love, to teach, to comfort, to heal, to help people become whole. Now, I always try to do something practical, generally, in these homilies, because I'm speaking more on an abstract level, but it's very important to understand the abstract level, or the higher level, in order to go down to the lower levels, the nitty-gritty, the hard stuff, the daily life. So as a father to other fathers and mothers, I would offer this advice to you. Pray for your children. If you're not praying for your children, you're making a big mistake. And I don't mean every once in a while say, God bless them as they walk out the door. Pray for them with fervor and intensity. Some of you like to pray akathists or canons or the Jesus prayer. Pray for your children. Read the Gospels. And live the Gospels and know the Gospels so that you can teach your children the Gospels. Obviously, when your children are young, you should be reading the Gospels to them. And you should know the Gospels well enough so that you can retell the Gospels to them. Because obviously, they're not exactly, when they're 3 years old, going to understand the King James Version of Matthew. It's too hard. You have to retell it to them. So read, pray. and order your life so that this is the most important thing. Knowing God and teaching others to know God. That's all that matters. Because what St. Paul has said regarding himself, where he has begotten his flock in Christ in a spiritual way, applies every bit to you who have begotten children in a physical and a spiritual way. May God help you to understand this mystery, to rejoice in this mystery, to partake in this mystery, and to recognize the awful and awesome responsibility of this mystery. You have created life. So look over your life and say to yourself, with God helping you, the places where you're not being a good parent, and beg God to help you to improve. Education is necessary. That's why I'm trying to get you all to be involved in education, every single one of you. I hope that when it's time for education, none of you have walked out that door to go back to your homes, that you're all going to want to be part of education. It's important. But it's only part of what's important. The most important thing is that you have this deep desire to continue to be a creator of life by showing your children the way of life. You can't give anybody what you don't have, so you have to have this yourself in order to show it. May God help us so that we can say, without shame, without self-recrimination, that we have begotten our children in the gospel. And also that we can say to our children, be followers of me. May God help you. Amen.